chapter in chapter number 5. And since there's only us here, it's an excellent time as we to ask questions if you have any as we read and as we talk. So but Ephesians 5, let's start our reading in verse number 1, and then we'll pick up the message in verse 5. But he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, that would be adultery, is to covet another man's wife. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, something like pornography, nor foolish talking, nor crude or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know. He's telling us here something that we already know. If we know God and if we have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, that no fornicator, that's sex outside of marriage, unclean, this would include homosexuality, nor covetous, an adulterer, who is an idolater. What is their idol? He is talking about all these people with their sexual sins. But then he throws in this term, idolater. Well, what is the connection between idolatry and the list of sexual sins he was talking about earlier in the verse?
I think when you hold someone as an idol, you're worshiping that thing. So whether it's sex or anything else, the foolish talking, you're kind of maybe lifting yourself up over that thing. So you're talking silly. You know, you just want to be seen. The filthiness of how you behave or your mouth. I think those are just forms of ignorance and just, I don't know.
Well, putting something above God, you're worshiping that thing. Idol is something you put, look in high regard as opposed to God. That's the thing you're looking to. That's your God.
And in the context here as to what is the God that they're looking to in verse number 5.
So you said what is the God they're looking to in number 5?
As to what is their idol? As to what are they putting above God?
Their flesh?
Their flesh. Mm-hmm. Sex. Fornication. Uncleanness, covetousness, all of these in this context are sexual sins.
They are the flesh.
And so the person is saying that my sex life is more important than Christ. That's why it will cost him their soul. That no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous, who is an idolater, that idol of sex, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And so I have a lot of friends, as even though we're getting older, who live for fornication. That is the number one thing in our life for years, and will really perish over this sin. Mm-hmm. And it really shows us that the gratification of the flesh is extremely strong. Even in religion, there is a strong sense of joy that people have in false religion. If you see them screaming, they can be crying, they can be praying. So when I was under false religion, I had emotions, I had joy, I had peace. It was not the real thing that comes from God. It's an imitation, but I called it joy. I called it peace. And what's happening here is that these people are calling sex their God by choosing it over Christ and the kingdom of God. And a choice must be made. You can't inherit the kingdom of Christ and be your own master. Mm. Now, this is one thing I'm really trying to help people see, is that the Christian is not a person who accepts some points of faith about Christ. I accept the atonement. I accept the forgiveness. I accept heaven. But I reject the holy life.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work that way. A Christian is a person who accepts Christ. And then he teaches us every day, every month, every year. He teaches us what that means. So when I first come unto Christ, I know that he's my Savior and my what? Lord. Mm-hmm. But he has a whole Bible to tell me what it means. And so I don't know the whole Bible the first time I come unto Christ. I know him as my master. And he is to teach me through the scriptures, through pastors and teachers, through other saints. He's to teach me continually, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to believe? It's not my thoughts. It's not what I think. Thoughts.
Oh, okay, thoughts.
Thoughts. It isn't my opinion. It's I am now under orders. Like when your granddaughter was here, and you were telling her, after she goes into the military now, they own you. You obey what they say, or they put you in jail. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, with Christ, he owns you now. Mm. You've been bought as to win a price. And me and you are to glorify God in our bodies, which are what? His.
Amen.
I'm under orders. I'm owned. I'm possessed. So
this is why it says that the works follow. When he owns you, when he bought you with a price, he saved you, then the works come.
That's right.
That was always my biggest, and I know you're going to get into it, so mm-hmm. I'll wait.
No, you can.
Mm-hmm. How you, people think that I'm working to be saved. But if not, you're working to be saved, you're working because you are saved.
Absolutely.
You know the Lord.
Absolutely.
If you've been bought with a price, if you've been saved, if you've got become a new creature, mm-hmm. well, all those things. If he mm-hmm. saved you, then mm-hmm. you do. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's his will. You mm-hmm. want to obey him. And you said that whole book is there mm-hmm. telling us how we should live.
Mm-hmm. And as you're saying, it's the evidence of a saved person is to hear this and to agree.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
so even
hear it. Mm-hmm. I almost need to write everything down because I want to mm-hmm. remember it.
Mm-hmm. That a person who has the Spirit of Christ, if confronted by the teaching of Christ, is to receive that teaching. And so you have patience. But if the person rejects the teaching of Christ, it proves that they don't actually trust Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's only words. It's a lot of people say, oh, I'm a Christian, until it gets biblical, right? Up until you open the scriptures and you see as to what it means, and then they say, well, oh.
Mm-hmm. Some people reject it because it's by grace.
Sure.
And that they can't do anything.
Sure.
I use that scripture with a person. By grace are you saved through faith in the gifts of God, not of works. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to buy it. Mm-hmm. It was right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. And that there are really two kinds of ways to enter into hell. It's I can reject grace or I can reject holiness. I either reject I'm saved entirely by grace, or I reject that his grace makes me a holy person. So either side is the side of the false prophet. But the way of Christ is the straight and the narrow. And there are few that find it. But everyone that's been taught by God has the fear of the Lord, has the ability in our heart to receive the word of God, because he's made us a new creation. And so now me and you are able to cast off that flesh and its lust that has so dominated us. Me, in my false religion, I quit all fornication. But I didn't know the gospel. I did not know the grace of God. Hmm? So, and then when I learned the gospel, it gave me power now to deny my flesh and ungodliness. And the power came, not the power of myself. In my false religion, it was all me. But in the gospel, the power came and it was him. It was not me trying, it was me believing. And then the fruit of a holy life is what comes up. So I believe what God says first, and then I'm able to live it in the power of the Spirit. He's calling us unto this new life, as we'll see as we go down into verse number 8, because he's equipped us for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's already saying that you are a holy new creation. You are a child of God. He started out this chapter in verse number 1, be imitators of God as dear children, as Christ also have loved us and gave himself for us. He's talking to us as believers who are partakers of the inheritance. And so he says this here in verse number 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. What are empty words? It's because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The empty words, as to what is he talking about?
Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
And so when he says because of these things, as to what things is he talking about? He's talking about those things in verse number 5. And he's already said, if you practice these, if you live in these without repentance, you can't inherit the kingdom. And so he says now in verse number 6, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Don't let a pastor tell you it's okay to be in fornication. I have to write a letter unto this man who knows all the Calvinistic doctrine. He went to school at Master's Seminary, and he used to teach their apologetics class many years ago, but he's in fornication. His wife died, and he's sleeping with a woman that's not his wife. And this particular person is afraid to marry her because he's rich.
Oh.
And he doesn't want her to swindle him, to get married and then leave with half of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand his fear, but there's a fear that's far greater.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
No fornicator, for any reason, is going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so I've warned him. I have told him to marry. But now I have to tell him with a great warning attached to it, that you can't even be saved if you continue in this. And it's very, very fearful, but anything, if I told him anything else, oh, it's okay, brother. Oh, it's, you know the gospel extremely well. You taught it at the seminary. You know all of these things. Your wife died. I understand you being rich. Oh, it's okay, brother. The Lord understands. I would be a false prophet who would be leading a man to hell, and I would be going there myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, he's saying, don't let anybody trick you out of the word of God. The old saying goes, it was a man that was caught cheating by his wife.
Mm-hmm.
She walked in on him, she saw him, and then she walked out. And then the next day, she came back, and the man's acting like nothing happened. And she says, I saw you cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? The same with Scripture. Are you going to believe the false prophet who says, it's okay if you just trust Christ, it doesn't really matter. You can believe as to whatever you want to. You can live as to how you please. Just this, that, and the other. You know, you come to church, you pay, you say, I love Jesus, it's all fine. Are you going to believe him or your eyes? My eyes tell me what the Bible's teaching. And for me personally, I don't trust any man on the word of God. Everything he says, I'm going to analyze it. Is it true? And if it's true, I'll receive it. And if it's not true, I don't care who said it. This is my life. This is my only hope. This is how strength and power enter into our heart to live godly and escape the wrath of God. Is to have peace and joy. There's only one way. No fornicator shall inherit. Let no one deceive you with empty words. I don't care what he believes. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he preaches. I don't care how much he knows about sovereign grace. If he's a fornicator, he's lost. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. He's telling us, if you want to escape the wrath of God, you cannot be in the same place as those who are going to suffer his wrath. Illustration is in the Old Testament. Have you heard of the prophet Balaam?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. He preached the truth, right?
Right.
But he perished. Why? He preached the true gospel. But when Israel came back to destroy Midian, instead of being with Israel, who he said are the blessed of God, he's with the Midianites because the Bible says he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the honor, esteem, and the money he got out of being a false prophet. He loved the pleasure of sin. And so even though he preached truth, He lived in sin. If he really believed that Israel was blessed of God, he would have joined with Israel and he would have left as to where he was. But he actually taught the children of Midian to commit fornication with Israel because he couldn't curse them. And since he couldn't curse them, he had to bless them. He knew if he could get them to sin, that the blessing of God would not come upon them and the people would be spared from Israel's power. And so God came back and punished him with everybody else. He's living the exact same life as those who perish, even though he preached a perfect sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this really hits a lot of people in our circles. There are many of them who hide behind the true gospel, but who don't live a holy life, who have no zeal of the church, no love of the glory of God. There is no love of his word. There is no love of his people. There is no striving towards holiness in life. They are living to be happy. And that's the same thing that's going on with the fornicator. He wants to enjoy himself. He wants his pleasure. Mm. Not knowing his pleasure comes from obedience. If it's in the power of the Holy Spirit, I have more joy obeying God than I ever could in sin. Just even now, as I'm here and I have extra time, and I'm able to spend time in prayer and study, into all hours, I'm entering into a fruitful harvest. I'm storing up scriptures, prayers. I'm entering into the blessing of God. That this time that I'm using wisely is strengthening my soul and his church. But if I use that time to serve myself, I'm watching television all day. I'm unconcerned about the people of God. I ain't in my word. I'm just enjoying myself. My own happiness drops.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit is the one who gives us joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. So if I'm obeying, even though it seems as if I'm doing what will take away my joy, I'm doing what makes me my happiest. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Holiness makes us happy. This year, as we do the resolutions, this year my resolution was to obey. And in that, I found even more joy. In some areas I was not obeying, I'm going to obey in these areas. And oops, look at the joy I found.
Mm-hmm.
The strengthening. So don't be deceived by empty words that the fornicator is going to enter into the kingdom, that his doctrine will save him, that even though he's unholy, since he believes the truth, don't hear them. Anybody preaching that, stay away. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, Patricia was talking about that I don't obey in order to get saved, right? Is I don't quit my fornication in order to be saved. I come to Christ as a fornicator, but it's in repentance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am a fornicator, but I admit my sin, I'm asking you to change me and to forgive me. Is that person going to be saved?
The one that comes and says, I'm acknowledging what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I need you. I can't stop this.
Mm-hmm.
If you trust God, I'd say yes.
100%.
If you trust God, he's saved.
Whoever calls upon the mm-hmm. name of the Lord. See, election is God choosing who will be saved from before time.
Mm-hmm.
His calling is him drawing us unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
When he is actually drawing me unto himself, I start to feel the conviction of sin. Mm-hmm. I start to see I need God's forgiveness. I start to see I need to live this holy life that I've been avoiding. And that's what makes us cry unto God like a leper. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.
Amen.
And you know what? He always wills.
He always will.
He stretched out his hand and said, I will. Be thou clean. Every person who comes unto him will be saved. I can have sexual sin. I can have anger problems. I can be cowardly. I can be just all manner of sin shall be forgiven. Anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. So don't be partakers of them in their wickedness, but trust Christ to make you a brand new person. Don't merely say, I'm saved by grace so I can live how I please. Very deadly doctrine. And then it says here in verse number 8.
I have a question.
Sure.
About the election.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to that. And fornication and mm-hmm. kind of the whole thing is when we ask, if we say to God, you know, I'm sorry, you know, please forgive my sins, help me, I want to be saved.
Yes.
What? And then the election.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a confusing part for me is that. Okay, God, he elects, he's decided who he's going to save.
Yes.
And so, you know, we see it all the time, you know. People will say they repent, they say they're sorry for their sins, and God, you know, I confess that you're my Lord and Savior, and all those, I call them little snippets of saying that they want to turn their life around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is... How do the two overlap? Mm-hmm. Where the election versus mm-hmm. me verbally saying
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
Lord, save me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. Help me. Show me.
Mm-hmm. And then as to how I also have assurance.
Yes.
I'm actually saved.
Yes.
Okay. So in election, it is him choosing in his love in Christ. That because of his son, he will save this great number of this huge multitude, which no man can number. That's his purpose, and he can't fail at it. So because of Christ and his work on the cross, he paid for all the sins of the church, of the sheep, of the elect, of the people he's going to save. And so he owes us salvation. It's because he promised it unto us before time ever began. Okay? That's the book of Titus 1. But the Spirit comes now because of Christ and his obedience on the cross and the fact that God the Father has resurrected him from the dead and he has made him Lord. And so the Spirit comes into our hearts with power through the preaching of the Word of God. And He convicts us of three things. And you can find them in the book of John, chapter number 16, and verse 8. Let's just read this.
Hold on a minute. Let me get this.
Mm-hmm. It's in
16:8.
Yeah, but let's start the reading at verse number 5. But now I go away to Him, our Lord says, who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled our heart. Never.
Sorry, you said John 16,
mm-hmm.
verse 8?
5. Start at 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so right now it's verse number 7. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, He will not come to you. But if I depart, that is through the cross,
mm-hmm.
I will send Him unto you. I will earn Him. I will pay the penalty of your sins. I will earn this great blessing. And when He has come, the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin. This world is His elect out of every nation. And of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. And so when the Holy Spirit is drawing a person unto Christ who has been chosen from before time by God, He convicts that person of their sin of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
He shows them, I haven't trusted Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what He showed me as He was bringing back
this
back
is the elect.
Soul.
The elect. Mm-hmm. You'll convict Him.
He will convict
Okay.
Him. And it will be a conviction that's unshakable. It will be a conviction that will bring a confession. I will admit, I will acknowledge my sin. There are so many people who call themselves Christian. But if you open up a Bible and you tell them what it means to be a sinner, they hate you. What's a sinner? A sinner is a person who can do no good and deserves no mercy and ought to be punished forever right now. That's a sinner.
And ought to be punished forever?
Right now. And there is absolutely nothing that they can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that puts me at the mercy of God. And if I call upon Him in that condition, unworthy, helpless, He'll hear my prayer. He saves only sinners. He gets in glory by saving people who are as bad as the devil. If I'm any better, I can't be saved.
Mm.
I call Him a liar.
If I'm saying I'm a 1%, I'm a little bit good, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. He rejects you.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. You know, like when I was younger, you know, in the church. Well, that sin, what she did is not as bad as my sin.
Mm.
I didn't, you know, she did this horrible, horrible thing.
Sure.
Whereas all I did was, I just looked at, you know, I talked about somebody. I was being unkind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The degrees of what we do wrong and the acceptable way to live,
mm-hmm.
or to be living like a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, even if I can even make all these things that you've seen or heard or even done yourself. So I'm glad that you gave the definition because it really makes it much clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is sin. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a sinner, then these are the things, you know, you've done it's so wrong that this is the only way is to cry out to God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because your definition here, doesn't leave anything.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. It says sinner can do no good and deserves no mercy and ought to be punished forever right now. That means everybody, that's all inclusive. That includes everybody, whether they want to receive it or not.
Absolutely.
That's everybody.
That's everybody. But it's the Spirit in the hearts of the elect who he convinces our heart. He makes us bow unto the teaching and accept it and say amen and agree with God. And it says here in verse number 10 of righteousness, and so as he has convicted us of sin and that I don't have any righteousness at all, then he also convicts us of righteousness. Christ says, because I go unto my Father and you see me no more. So he's saying that when the sinner is trying to find righteousness, the Spirit shows him Christ resurrected from the dead, that he has done all righteousness, that the righteousness I need to be saved is the obedience of that man, our Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience, his perfection is enough to bring us into salvation. I have to be righteous in the sight of God, but the righteousness I need is my Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone unto the Father. He obeyed unto the death. Christ was resurrected from the dead. He sat down at the right hand of God. He has pleased God in every way. So for the rest of my life, every time I think about God, I know I'm righteous because I see his Son at his right hand. And I know that my whole acceptance is what his Son did for me. That's faith. And then the third thing is this, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He's talking about the devil. He's been judged. His dominion over God's elect, it has been broken. That by the precious blood of Christ, and through the righteousness of his obedience at the cross, he has a right to send the Spirit into our life with power to cast out Satan and to make us a new creation that is able now to live the Christian life. The evil one had dominion over us. Mm-hmm. But he's been judged and cast out. He lost. Christ won. Christ has a right to save. And that's how the accuser of the brethren was cast out of heaven in the Revelation in chapter number 12. Is because the accuser of the brethren was cast down and he had no more access into heaven because the Lamb died and ascended up on high. His blood screams that God has a right to show mercy. And based upon that right, the accuser has no more accusations. He cannot tell God as he did in the Old Testament, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Zechariah 3, when Joshua the high priest was standing there with the devil on his right hand to accuse him, pointing at all of his sin. But now it's been made known that the way into the holiest of all is through the blood of Christ. And so the accuser has no more accusations. He can't say, well, her sins, he sees Christ paid her sin debt. He doesn't have anything else that he can say. And so the Spirit comes into our heart with power, and he shows us our sin, Christ's obedience, and the power of the Spirit to conquer sin. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm elect. How? If I believe. I don't need to move. I don't need to conquer sin. I don't need to change my life. I don't need to feel good. The first thing I do is I believe. And I know that by believing, I have eternal life, because that's what God says. And then now, as a new creature, as I go in the Word and I see him tell me, abstain from fornication. Don't act like this. Act like that. Now, through Christ, I can look up to God and say, give me the Spirit so that I can obey you. Mm-hmm. And when I fail, I can go back to the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins he accomplished, he earned, and start over again. Help me again.
That was my next question.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live in this flesh, and we're not perfect.
Mm.
And you know, whether it's in work or deed, I guess, either way, whether it's in the mind or is it the actual act, you answered my question, really.
Go back. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing I have in between me and God, as our whole relationship, is the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. It isn't missionary work. It isn't a Bible reading. It isn't anything about me. Mm-hmm. Or else there would be no peace. Because if it has any sin on it, it would provoke the anger of God. If you look at Adam, he ate a piece of fruit off a tree. And the whole world was cursed. His children were condemned to everlasting death.
Mm-hmm.
For just one act of disobedience. That's how holy is God.
Mm-hmm.
So in our relationship, if there's any sin, I must be damned. But through Christ, there's only perfect righteousness, perfect obedience. His blood was shed. And so our whole relationship with God is his son's blood. Lord, that's my acceptance. That's the reason I should be heard. That's the reason I should be blessed. That's the reason I need the Spirit. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, has taken away my sin. That's a believer. He is trusting in the blood of Christ, in the righteousness of Christ, because he doesn't have any righteousness of his own. And the Spirit is really showing that because of Christ, I got power over Satan now through the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I can live a holy life. I can walk uprightly. I can walk in love. I can forgive people. I can be kind. And I know I have it just by faith,
mm-hmm.
just by believing. Understand that?
Mm-hmm. So, So we should read the Word. We should be reading the Scripture, a believer.
Sure.
Because that's how the Lord is really showing us. And we're convicted by the Word.
Mm-hmm.
We're convinced, right? All of this by the Word.
Mm-hmm. It's continual.
It's continual.
It's a renewing of our mind. As the Lord said in John chapter number 13, If you have been bathed, then you only need to wash your feet, right?
Mm.
And so to be bathed is to be born again, is to become a new creation. And to have my feet washed is to be renewed in the spirit of my mind each and every day. As I keep on going back to Christ, I keep on believing, I keep on receiving the precious promises and the grace of Christ.
I can remember that. I don't know what the reference is to John 13, what, but that's pretty good. I love that scripture.
It's the one, yeah. It's
if I have been bathed,
mm-hmm.
that is born again,
mm-hmm.
all I need is to have my feet washed.
Mm-hmm.
Just a continuous process.
Mm-hmm.
Keep having my feet washed.
Mm-hmm.
Keep having my feet washed. Because mm-hmm. I'm born again. I'm a child
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm going to repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. By faith,
mm-hmm.
if He's elected me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm living that life that mm-hmm. He's already promised me,
mm-hmm.
then I don't have to keep saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But just to remain in that elected group.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm living the life, if mm-hmm. I'm studying, mm-hmm. if I'm reading the Word, and I'm praying and asking for guidance and direction,
mm-hmm.
by faith,
mm-hmm.
I'll remain saved.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you trust Christ now, you will be saved forever. Mm-hmm. Because to trust Christ is to be born again.
Amen. Amen.
And if He put in you a brand new nature, and His Spirit
mm-hmm.
is—he's going to stay.
That's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what I do is I confess my sin all the time. All the time. After I get done preaching, I confess my sin. But
you confess your sin or sins? Because we do so many sins with an S.
Both.
Because, you know, I mean, sometimes I can't remember. Yeah. It's what I'm trying to say, because in the flesh, that sin nature is there.
Sure.
Right? So, I mean, in our lifetime, we committed sins we can't even remember.
Sure. But at the same time, it is right to confess the ones that are pressing on my mind.
Yeah. Yes, I can see that.
So, mm-hmm. as you read in the Psalms, it's he confesses some specific sins, but it's often it's his nature, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm conceived in iniquity.
Yes.
But I don't ever have to doubt my salvation. So there is a difference between confessing sin mm-hmm. and being in sin, in unbelief, and fear. So when I confess sin, it isn't, oh Lord, I'm not saved, or I don't know if you love me. I know the gospel. So I'm confessing sin to Him who loves me, and Him who saved me, and Him who will keep me. So Don't ever let your sin take you off of the precious blood of Christ and the power of the Spirit to put that sin back down. I'm as accepted in my sin as I am if I'm preaching, because my acceptance is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, and it's part of maturity. It is part of growth, that as we abide in Christ, as we stick to the gospel. I remember as a younger Christian, I would be thrown off by sin. I'd be sad for many days, and it would be, and I didn't know how to get my joy back. But now I understand, even if I don't have my joy, just to keep going until it comes, and ask Him for it. But don't think, oh, I sinned, I'm not saved, I don't have His favor, I can't pray, He doesn't want to hear my voice. And so we put ourselves on punishment. And what we're really doing is we're not trusting in the grace of God. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so let's go back into Ephesians chapter 5.
But this is a lot, by the way. I always tell you that. It's a lot, and it's like I want it all at once. It, you know, it just it's a lot. Mm. But yet it's not a lot. You know what I mean? It's like I think it's just food. It's just I don't know how to express it. I'm feeling it's nourishment. I need this. Yeah. I need it. Thank you.
That's good. Well, let's look at this last scripture here, verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5.
Verse 8.
And this is what Paul is saying, and it's another. Summary. For you were once darkness. I was a sinner. I didn't have any light in me. But now are you light in the Lord. You know the gospel. Mm-hmm. He's inside of you. Walk as children of
light. Amen.
That's what he said. That by the grace of God, you've been made a new creation. You have come to believe the gospel. That's how you know that you are elected of God. A great thing has happened. He's taught you the truth. How many people know it? Not many. But you receive it in a willing heart by faith. And you love the truth. And enjoy the truth. And you know it's true.
I do. I love it. I love hearing the truth.
He made you like that. Mm-hmm. Now be 100% what he's made you.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we struggle with, well, I want to be like old me plus my new me. And we tried to hold on. Like an example is my friends. I have some extremely close friends that are like brothers. But on this particular trip, I can tell that they know I'm gone. I have crossed over. I'm on the other side now. And for many years, I preach and teach, and I would come around them extremely rarely, since my friends are extremely sinful. But I would come, and I would be, that's more quiet. But now they understand it's more aggressive. It's more open. I mean, it isn't like I'm trying to play, well, I don't want to offend them, and yet I want to preach Christ. No, if you're offended, that's too bad. I've got to preach the gospel. And as to what's happening here is that I'm becoming more of who I am. He made me an evangelist. I did not even, it was not in my mind. But now that it's done, let me be about this business. 100%. And it's the same way with you. As a child of light now, walk like it. And so you lean on God and say, okay, here's how I'm supposed to be living. Have confidence that God is going to make you able through the Holy Ghost. One of the hardest lessons I learned, and it took me many years, is that I can't live the Christian life, but the Holy Ghost can make me able. So it actually transformed me from a person that was content with head knowledge into a person who had to experience power. I have to get strength, Lord, to live this.
So not on your own strength.
I don't have any strength at all. The devil is who's strong and who clever. that apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no hope whatsoever. But in the Spirit, if we lean on Him, there's power. And the devil will flee from you, for Christ's sake. So if I want to live any other life than a holy life, the Spirit of God is not going to help me. But if I am concentrating on being obedient through faith in Christ, the Spirit of God comes, help is given, and there's joy, there's peace, and there's power over sin. Walk as a child of light. You are not the same person that you were before you believed the truth of the gospel. And so now you know it, so you be about your business. And don't even feel strange. You are a new creation. You have been chosen out of this world. So our life is going to be completely different than our neighbors. But don't hide your light. Walk as a child of light. Grow in grace. Love. And so the remainder of the book of Ephesians is all about how do we walk in a light. And he actually picked up this subject of how we walk in chapter 4, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. He already called you as child, and he already brought you in the family, already chose you, already redeemed you, already gave you faith in Christ. Now walk like it. And so walk it out. This is the most fun a Christian can have. It's obeying God in the Spirit's power.
All right. Ooh. Now is your time. He's leaving here Friday.
There's
your fortune in the flesh here.
This is it's a lot to absorb. Let's see, scriptures on election. I think I understand, you know, that about.
Let's pray first.
Okay.
And then I'm going to stop recording, and then we can talk more.
Okay.
Our Father, it is our privilege, our blessing. Mm-hmm. To be here, to open your word, to help your children, and to have your Spirit here with us, Lord. And we ask you to help those who will hear this audio, just of three people around a table with the word open. Lord, speak unto our hearts. Help your people for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and may you get the glory, and may others see that just opening your word in the light of Christ is sufficient for everything. And we don't need tricks, interesting stories, or anything. We just need you, your Spirit, and your word. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father, we thank you and we bless you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.